17. Rory was locked so securely in Clay's arms that for a moment she couldn't draw a breath. But that didn't matter. What mattered was that she was being hugged by the man she loved, and he was holding on to her as though he didn't plan to ever let her go. Clay kissed her again and again, the way a starving man took his first bites of food, initially hesitant, then eager. The palms of Rory's hands were pressed against his chest, and she felt the quick surge of his heart. His own hand was gentle on her hair, caressing it, running his fingers through it. "Rory, Rory, I can't believe you're here." Rory felt the power of his emotions, and they were strong enough to rock her, body and soul. This man loved her. He was honest and hardworking. She knew all that. But even more, Clay Franklin was good, with an unselfishness and a loyalty that had touched her profoundly. In an age of ambitious, hard-hearted, vain men, she had inadvertently stumbled on this rare man of character. Her life would never be the same. Clay exhaled a deep sigh, and his hands framed her face as he pulled his head back to gaze into her eyes. The lines that marked his face seemed more deeply incised now, and she felt another pang of sorrow for the pain he'd endured. "Mary wasn't teasing me, was she? You are the new librarian?" Rory nodded, smiling up at him, her happiness shining from her eyes. "There's no going back for me. I've moved out of my apartment, packed everything I own, and quit my job with barely a week's notice." Rory had fallen in love with Clay, caught in the magic of one special night when a foal had been born. But her feelings stretched far beyond the events of a single evening and the few short days they'd spent together. Her love for Clay had become an essential part of her. Rory adored him and would feel that way for as long as her heart continued to beat. Clay's frown deepened and his features tightened briefly.
"What about Dan? I thought you were going to marry him."
"I couldn't," she said, then smiled tenderly, tracing his face with her hands, loving the feel of him beneath her fingertips.
"But
Clay," she interrupted, "why didn't you tell me when I saw you in San Francisco that you'd broken your engagement to Kate?" Her eyes clouded with anguish at the memory, at the anxiety they'd caused each other. It had been such senseless heartache, and they'd wasted precious time. "Couldn't you see how miserable I was?" A grimace of pain moved across his features.
"All I noticed was how right you and that stockbroker looked together. You both kept telling me what a bright future he had. I couldn't begin to offer you the things he could. And if that wasn't enough, it was all too apparent that Dan was in love with you."
Gently, Clay smoothed her hair away from her temple.
"I could understand what it meant to love you, and between the two of us, he seemed the better man."
Rory lowered her face, pressing her forehead against the hollow of his shoulder. She groaned in frustration. "How could you even think such a thing when I love you so much?" Clay moved her face so he could meet her eyes.
"But, Rory,"
he stopped, and a muscle jerked in his jaw.
"Dan can give you far more than I'll ever be able to. He's got connections, background, education. A few years down the road, he's going to be very wealthy. Success is written all over him. He may have his faults, but basically he's a fine man."
"He is a good person, and he's going to make some woman a good husband. But it won't be me."
"He could give you the kinds of things I may never be able to afford."
"Clay Franklin, do you love me or not?" Clay exhaled slowly, watching her.
"You know the answer to that."
"Then stop arguing with me. I don't love Dan Rogers. I love you." Still, his frown persisted.
"You belong in the city."
"I belong with you," she countered.
He said nothing for a long moment. "I can't argue with that," he whispered, his voice husky with emotion. "You do belong here, because, God help me, I haven't got the strength to let you walk away a second time." Clay kissed her again, his mouth sliding over hers as though he still couldn't believe she was in his arms. She held on to him with all her strength, soaking up his love. She was at home in his arms. It was where she belonged and where she planned to stay. The sound of someone entering the room filtered through to Rory's consciousness, but she couldn't bring herself to move out of Clay's arms.
"Rory!" Skip cried, his voice high and excited. "What are you doing here?"
Rory finally released Clay and turned toward the teenager who had come to her rescue that August afternoon. "Hello, Skip," she said softly. Clay slipped his arm around her waist, and she smiled up at him, needing his touch to anchor her in the reality of their love.
"Are you back for good?"
Skip wanted to know. She nodded, but before she could answer, Clay said,
"Meet Nightingale's new librarian."
His arm tightened around her. The smile that lit the teenager's eyes was telling.
"So you're going to stick around this time." He blew out a gusty sigh. "It's a damn good thing, because since you left, my brother's been as hard to live with as a rattlesnake."
"I'd say that was a bit of an exaggeration," Clay muttered, clearly not approving of his brother's choice of description.
"You shouldn't have gone," Skip said, sighing again.
"Especially before the county fair,"
Rory laughed. "You're never going to forgive me for missing that, are you?"
"You should have been here, Rory. It was great."
"I'll be here next summer," she promised.
"The fact is, Rory's going to be around for a lifetime of summers,"
Clay informed his brother.
"We're going to be married as soon as we can arrange it."
His eyes held hers, but they were filled with questions, as if he half expected her even now to refuse him. Rory swallowed the emotion that bobbed so readily to the surface and nodded wildly, telling him with one look that she'd marry him anytime he wanted. Skip crossed his arms over his chest and gave them a smug look.
"I knew something was going on between the two of you. Every time I was around you guys, it was like getting zapped with one of those stun guns."
"We were that obvious?" It still troubled Rory that Kate had known, especially since both she and Clay had tried so hard to hide their feelings. Skip's shrug was carefree.
"I don't think so, but I don't care about love and all that."
"Give it time, little brother," Clay murmured, "because when it hits, it'll knock you for a loop."
Mary stepped into the room, carrying a platter of meat.
"So, the two of you are getting hitched?"
Their laughter signaled a welcome release from all the tensions of the past weeks. Clay pulled out Rory's chair, then sat down beside her. His hand reached for hers, lacing their fingers together.
"Yes," he said, still smiling. "We'll be married as soon as we can get the license and talk to the pastor."
Mary pushed the basket of biscuits closer to Skip.
"Well, you don't need to fret. I'll stay for a couple more years until I can teach this child the proper way to feed a man. She may be pretty to look at, but she don't know beans about whipping up a decent meal."
"I'd appreciate that, Mary," Rory said. "I could do with a few cooking lessons." The housekeeper's smile broadened.
"Now go ahead and eat before the potatoes get cold and the gravy gets lumpy."
Skip didn't need any further inducement. He helped himself to the biscuits, piling three on the edge of his plate. Mary playfully slapped his hand.
"I've got apple pie for dessert, so don't go filling yourselves up on my buttermilk biscuits."
Her good humor was evident as she surveyed the table, glancing at everyone's plate, then bustled back to the kitchen. Rory did her best to sample a little of everything. Although the meal was delicious, she was too excited to do anything as mundane as eat. After dinner, Skip made himself scarce.
Mary delivered a tray with two coffee cups to the living room, where Clay and Rory sat close together on the couch.
You two have lots to talk about, so you might as well drink this while you're doing it.
Thank you, Mary, Clay said, exchanging a smile with Rory.
The older woman set the tray down, then patted the fine gray hair at the sides of her head.
I want you to know how pleased I am for you both. Have you set the date yet?
We're talking about that now, Clay answered.
We're going to call Rory's family in Arizona this evening and discuss it with them.
Mary nodded.
She's not the woman I would have chosen for you, her being a city girl and all, but she'll make you happy.
Clay's hand clasped Rory's.
I know.
She's got a generous soul.
The housekeeper looked at Rory, and her gaze softened.
Fill this house with children, and with love. It's been quiet far too long.
The phone rang in the kitchen, and with a regretful glance over her shoulder, Mary hurried to answer it. A moment later, she stuck her head around the kitchen door.
It's for you, Clay. Long distance.
Clay's grimace was apologetic.
I'd better get it.
You don't need to worry that I'll leave, Rory said with a laugh. You're stuck with me for a lot of years, Clay Franklin. He kissed her before he stood up, then headed toward the kitchen. Rory sighed and leaned back, cradling her mug. By chance, her gaze fell on the photograph of Clay's parents, which rested on top of the piano. Once more, Rory felt the pull of his mother's eyes. She smiled now, understanding so many things. The day she'd planned to leave Elk Run, this same photograph had captured her attention. The moment she'd walked into this house, Rory had belonged to Clay and he to her. Somehow, looking at his mother's picture, she'd sensed that. She belonged to this home and this family. Clay returned a few minutes later, with Blue trailing him.
Just a call from the owner of one of the horses I board, he said,
as he sat down beside Rory and placed his arm around her shoulder. His eyes followed hers to the photo.
Mom would have liked you.
Rory sipped her coffee and smiled. I know I would have loved her. Setting her cup aside, she reached up and threw both arms around Clay's neck. Gazing into his eyes, she brought his mouth down to hers. Perhaps it was her imagination or an optical illusion. In fact, Rory was sure of it. But she could have sworn the elegant woman in the photograph smiled.
Country Bride. Chapter 1. I now pronounce you husband and wife. A burst of organ music crescendoed through the largest church in Nightingale, Oregon, as a murmur of shared happiness rose from the congregation. Standing at the altar, Clay Franklin claimed his right to kiss Rory Campbell Franklin, his bride. Kate Logan did her best to look delighted for her friends, even though she felt as if a giant fist had been slammed into her stomach. Tears gathered in her eyes, and she lowered her gaze, unable to watch as the man she'd loved for most of her life wrapped his arm around his new bride's waist.
Clay should be marrying me, Kate cried silently. I should be the one he's looking at so tenderly. Me!
During the past few weeks, Kate had repeatedly reassured herself that she'd done the right thing in stepping aside to bring Clay and Rory together. But that fact didn't lessen her pain now. Kate loved Clay, and that wasn't going to change. He was her best friend and confidant, her compass, her North Star. And now Clay was married to another woman, someone he loved far more than he could ever care for Kate. A clean white handkerchief was thrust into her hand by Luke Rivers, her father's foreman. Kate knew he'd been waiting for this moment, convinced she'd dissolve into a puddle of tears. She declined the use of his handkerchief by gently shaking her head.
I'm here, he whispered in her ear. So is half of Nightingale, she returned wryly. Luke seemed determined to rescue her from this pain, as if that was possible. All she wanted was to survive this day with her dignity intact, and his open sympathy threatened the composure she'd painfully mustered.
You're doing fine.
Luke, she muttered, stop making a fuss over me, please. She'd managed to get through the ceremony without breaking down. The last thing she needed now was to have Luke calling attention to her. It was ironic that Kate had been the one responsible for bringing Clay and Rory together. She should be feeling noble and jubilant and honorable, but the only emotion she felt was a deep, abiding sense of loss. Rory and Clay walked down the center aisle, and from somewhere deep inside her, Kate found the strength to raise her head and smile blindly in their direction. Luke's hands gripped her shoulders as though to lend her strength. His concern should have been a comfort, but it wasn't.
I'll walk you to the reception hall, Luke said, slipping his arm through hers.
I'm perfectly capable of making it there on my own, she snapped, not wanting his pity. She would have argued more, but since they were sitting near the front of the church, they were among the first to be ushered out. Holding her head high, Kate walked past her friends and neighbors, doing her best to appear cheerful and serene. At least she looked her best. Kate had made certain of that. She'd curled her thick blonde hair until it lightly brushed her shoulders. The style emphasized her blue eyes and sculpted cheekbones. She'd shopped long and hard for the perfect dress, and had found one that enhanced her slender waist and outlined her trim figure. The minute she'd tried on the soft blue silk and viewed herself in the mirror, Kate had known this was the dress. Although the lines were simple, the look was both classic and sophisticated, a look she'd never bothered to cultivate before. Too often in the past, she'd been mistaken for a teenager, mostly, she supposed, because she'd dressed the part. But she was a woman now, and she had the broken heart to prove it. Kate paused in the church vestibule, waiting for her father. Devon was sitting with Dorothea Murphy, his widow friend. Her father's interest in the older woman was something of a mystery to Kate. Tall and plump and outspoken, she was completely unlike Kate's late mother, who'd been delicate and reserved. Kate sometimes wondered what it was about Dorothea that attracted her father. They'd been seeing a lot of each other in recent weeks, but the possibility of their contemplating marriage filled Kate with a sudden, overwhelming sense of alarm. Kate pushed the thought from her mind. Losing Clay was all she could deal with right now.
Are you all right, Princess?
Devon asked when he joined her. I wish everyone would stop worrying about me. I'm fine. It wasn't the truth, but Kate was well aware that she had to put on a breezy, unconcerned front, at least for the next few hours. Her father patted her hand.
I know how hard this is for you. Do you want to go to the reception or would you prefer to head home?
His eyes were warm and sympathetic, and Kate felt a rush of love for him. A part of her longed to slip away unnoticed, but she couldn't, and she knew it.
Kate's already agreed to accompany me, Luke inserted, daring her to contradict him.
Indignation rose inside her. Instead of helping, Luke was making everything worse. The pain of watching Clay pledge his life to another woman was difficult enough without Luke's unsought demands.
I'm glad to hear that, Devon Logan said, clearly relieved.
He smiled as he slipped his arm around Dorothea's waist.
Mrs. Murphy invited me to sit with her, and frankly, I was looking forward to doing that.
He released Kate's hand, kissed her on the cheek, then strolled nonchalantly away.
Shall we?
Grinning, Luke reached for Kate's limp hand and tucked it into the crook of his arm. As if they'd been a couple for years, he casually led her out of the church. The early evening air was crisp and clear. Autumn had crested on an October tide of bronze and gold leaves, huge pumpkins and early twilights. Normally, this time of year invigorated Kate. If she hadn't been fortifying herself against Clay's wedding, she could have appreciated the season more. The walk across the parking lot to the reception hall was a short one. Kate didn't say another word to Luke, mentally preparing herself for the coming encounter with Clay and his bride. With each step, her heart grew heavier. Rory had asked her to be a bridesmaid, and although Kate was honored by the request, she'd declined. Rory understood and hadn't pressured her, despite the fact that they both loved the same man. Rory and Kate had become close. Their friendship made everything more difficult for Kate, yet somehow easier, too. By the time they arrived at the old brick building, Kate's pulse was so loud it echoed like a drum in her ear. Just outside the double doors leading into the hall, she stopped abruptly. "I can't go in there," she told Luke. Panic had worked its way into her voice, which was low and trembling. "I can't face them and pretend. I just can't do it." "Yes, you can." "How could you possibly know what I can and can't do?" she demanded, wanting to bury her face in her hands and weep. These past few hours had taken their toll, and she couldn't keep up the charade much longer. Luke gazed down on her, and for the briefest of moments, his eyes registered sympathy and regret.
"You can go in there, and you will," he repeated.
Kate saw determination in his serious dark eyes and swallowed an angry retort, knowing he was right. At 6 feet, Luke towered over her, and the hard set of his mouth did more than hint at determination and a will of iron.
"If you don't attend the reception, everyone in Nightingale will talk. Is that what you want?"
"Yes," she cried, then lowered her head, battling down wave after wave of depression and self-pity. "No," she said reluctantly, loath to agree with him.
"I'm here for you, Kate. Lean on me for once in your life, and let me help you through the next few hours."
"I'm doing fine, He wouldn't allow her to finish.
"Quit fighting me. I'm your friend, remember?"
His words, hushed and tender, brought a burning to her eyes. Her fingers tightened around his arm, and she nodded, calling upon a reserve of strength she didn't know she possessed. "Just don't be so bossy with me, please. I can bear almost anything but that." She'd made it through the wedding ceremony on her own. Now she needed someone at her side to help her appear strong and steady, in control of her emotions, when she felt as though the entire universe was pitching and heaving.
"Anything you say, princess."
Although she'd objected earlier, she felt comforted by his strong arm against her. She heard his voice, as if from a distance, too preoccupied with her own pain to respond to his concern. But his presence restored her determination to acquit herself well during the long evening ahead. "Only Daddy calls me princess," she said distractedly.
"You mind?"
"I don't know. I suppose it's all right."
"Good."
His fingers intertwined with hers as he guided her into the brightly decorated reception hall. The next half hour was a blur. Drawing upon Luke's silent strength, Kate managed to make it through the reception line without a problem. Still, her knees felt shaky by the time she reached Clay, who kissed her cheek and thanked her for being so wonderful. Kate certainly didn't feel wonderful, even particularly admirable. But she smiled, and she was sincere when she offered Clay and Rory her very best wishes. Somehow Luke must have known how frail she felt because he took her hand and led her to one of the round, lace-covered tables. His fingers were cool and calloused, while Kate's were damp with her stubborn resolve to hide her pain. Wordlessly, she sat beside Luke until the cake had been cut, and the first piece ceremonially fed to the bride and groom. The scene before her flickered like an old silent movie. Kate held herself still, trying not to feel anything, but not succeeding.
"Would you like me to get you something to eat?"
Luke asked, when a line formed to gather refreshments. She stared at him, hardly able to comprehend his words. Then she blinked, and her eyes traveled across the hall to the three-tiered, heart-shaped wedding cake.
"No," she said automatically. "When was the last time you ate?"
Kate didn't remember. She shrugged. "Breakfast, I guess." As she spoke, she realized that wasn't true. Dinner the night before was the last time she'd eaten. No wonder she felt so shaky and lightheaded.
"I'm getting you some wedding cake,"
Luke announced grimly. "Don't, I'm not hungry." He was doing it again, taking over, making decisions on her behalf because he felt sorry for her. She would have argued with him, but he was already walking away, blithely unaware of her frustration. Kate watched him, suddenly seeing him with fresh eyes. Luke Rivers had lived and worked on the Circle L for a decade, but Kate knew next to nothing about his past. His official title was foreman, but he was much more than that. He'd initiated several successful cattle breeding programs and been involved in a profit-sharing venture with her father almost from the first. Devon had often remarked that Luke was certainly capable of maintaining his own spread, but year after year, he stayed on at the Circle L. This realization, that she knew so little of his past and even less about his thoughts and plans, shocked Kate. He'd always been just plain Luke, and he'd always been around, or so it seemed. She had to admit that Luke puzzled her. He was handsome enough, but he rarely dated any woman for long, although plenty of Nightingale's finest had made their interest obvious. He was a catch who refused to play ball. He could be as tough as leather and mean as a saddle sore when the mood struck him, but it seldom did. Tall, lean, and rugged adequately described him on the surface. It was what lay below that piqued her interest now. Kate's musings about Luke were interrupted by the man himself as he pulled out the chair beside her and sat down. He pushed a delicate china plate filled with cheese and mixed nuts in her direction. "I thought you were bringing me cake." His own plate was loaded with a huge piece, in addition to a few nuts and pastel mints.
"I brought you some protein instead. Sugar's not a good idea on an empty stomach."
"I don't believe you," she muttered, her sarcasm fueled by his arrogance. "First you insist on bringing me cake, and then just when I'm looking forward to it, you decide I shouldn't be eating sweets." Luke ignored her, slicing into his cake.
"Just a minute ago, you said it would be a waste of time for me to bring you anything. Fact is, you downright refused to eat."
"That was before." He smiled, and that knowing, cocky smile of his infuriated her.
"You'll feel sick if you eat sugar," he announced in an authoritative voice.
So much for helping her through the evening. All he seemed to want to do was quarrel. "Apparently, you know how my stomach's going to react to various food groups. You amaze me, Luke Rivers. I had no idea you knew so much about my body's metabolism."
"You'd be shocked if I told you all the things I know about you and your body, princess."
Kate stood abruptly. "I don't think it's a good idea for you to call me that. I'm not your princess. I'm a woman, not a little girl."
"Honey, you don't need to tell me that. I already know. Now sit down."
His tone was brusque and his smile humorless. "I'll stand if I choose."
"Fine then, look like a fool if that's what you want."
No sooner had the words left his lips than she lowered herself back into the chair. The fight had gone out of her as quickly as it had come. Absently, she scooped up a handful of nuts and chewed them vigorously, taking her frustration out on them. Luke pushed his plate aside and took her hand, squeezing it gently.
"I'm your friend. I've always been your friend, and I'll continue to be your friend as long as I live. Don't ever doubt that."
Kate's eyes filled, and her throat tightened painfully. "I know. It's just that this is so much more exhausting than I thought it would be." Voices drew Kate's eyes to the front of the room where Clay and Rory were toasting each other with glasses of sparkling champagne. Soon flutes were being delivered around the room. Kate took one, holding the stem with both hands, as if the champagne would lend her strength. When the newlyweds were toasted, she took a sip. It bubbled and fizzed inside her mouth, then slid easily down her throat. The soft strains of a violin drifted around the hall, and mesmerized, Kate watched as Clay claimed his bride and led her onto the dance floor. Just watching the couple, so much in love, with eyes only for each other, heaped an extra burden of pain on Kate's shoulders. She looked away, and when she did, her gaze met Luke's. She tried to smile, to convince him she wasn't feeling a thing, but her effort failed dismally. Ready tears brimmed at the corners of her eyes, and she bent her head, not wanting anyone to notice them. Least of all, Luke. He'd been wonderful. He'd been terrible. Kate couldn't decide which. Soon others joined Clay and Rory, first the matron of honor, and then the bridesmaids and groomsmen, each couple swirling around the polished floor with practiced ease. Luke got to his feet, walked to Kate's side, and offered her his hand. His eyes held hers, silently demanding that she dance with him. Kate longed to tell him no, but she didn't have the energy to argue. It was simpler to give in than try to explain why she couldn't. Together they approached the outskirts of the dance floor, and Luke skillfully turned her into his arms.
"Everything's going to be all right," he whispered as his hand slid around her waist.
Kate managed a nod, grateful for his concern. She needed Luke this evening more than she'd realized. One thing was clear, she'd never make it through the remainder of the night without him. During the past few years, Luke had danced with Kate any number of times. She'd never given it a second thought. Now they danced to one song and then another. But when she slipped into his embrace a third time and his finger spread across the small of her back, a shiver of unexpected awareness skidded up her spine. Kate paused, confused. Her steps faltered, and in what seemed like an attempt to help her, Luke pulled her closer. Soon their bodies were so close together, Kate could hear the steady beat of Luke's heart against her own. The quickening rate of his pulse told her he was experiencing the same rush of excitement she was. Kate felt so lightheaded, she was almost giddy. Luke's arms were warm and secure, a solid foundation to hold onto when her world had been abruptly kicked off its axis. It might have been selfish, but Kate needed that warmth, that security. Smiling up at him, she closed her eyes and surrendered to the warm sensations carried on the soft, lilting music.
"Kate, there's something I need to tell you about the Circle L."
She pressed her fingers against his lips, afraid that words would ruin this feeling. Arms twined around his neck, she grazed his jaw with the side of her face, reveling in the feel of him. Male and strong, lean and hard.
"All right," he whispered. "We'll talk about it later."
They continued dancing, and Luke rubbed his face against her hair, mussing it slightly, but Kate didn't mind. Like a contented cat, she purred softly, the low sound coming from deep in her throat. The music ended all too quickly, and with heavy reluctance, she dropped her arms and backed up one small step. Silently, they stood an inch or so apart until the music resumed, when they reached for each other once again. But this time, Kate decided to figure out what was happening between them. Knowing how much she loved Clay, Luke was trying to help her through the evening. Yes, that was it. And doing a fine job, too. She felt marvelous. It didn't make sense to her that she should experience this strong, unexpectedly sensual attraction to Luke, but at the moment, she didn't care. He was concerned and gentle, and she needed him. They remained as they were, not speaking, savoring these warm sensations, until Kate lost count of the number of times they'd danced. When the band took a 10-minute break, Luke released her with an unwillingness that made her heart soar, as though he couldn't bear to be separated from her. He took her hand, lacing her fingers with his. He was leading her back to their table when they were interrupted by Beth Hammond, a pert blonde who'd hurried toward them. "Hello, Luke," she said, ignoring Kate. "Beth." He bowed his head politely, but it was evident that he didn't appreciate the intrusion. The other woman placed a proprietary hand on his arm. "You promised me a dance, remember?" Kate's eyes swiveled from Beth, who was pouting prettily, to Luke, who looked testy and impatient. "If you'll excuse me a minute, I'm going to get a drink," Kate said. Her throat was parched, and she didn't want to be left standing alone when the music started and Beth walked off with Luke. The fruit punch was cold and refreshing, but she still felt warm. Kate decided to walk outside and let the cool night air clear her mind. Try though she might, she didn't really understand what was happening between her and Luke. It probably had to do with a confused state of her emotions, she decided. She'd think about it later. The stars glittered like frost diamonds against a velvety black sky. Kate stood in the crisp evening air with her arms around her waist, gazing up at the heavens. She didn't hear Luke until he stepped behind her and lightly rested his hands on her shoulders.
"I couldn't find you," he said in a voice that was softly accusing.
Kate didn't want to discuss Beth Hammond. For as long as she could remember, the other woman had been going out of her way to attract him.
"It's beautiful out, isn't it?" she asked instead.
Instinctively, she nestled closer to Luke, reclining against the lean strength of his body, seeking his warmth.
"Beautiful,"
he repeated, running his hands down her arms. How content she felt with Luke. How comfortable. The way she imagined people felt when they'd been married for 20 years. But along with this familiar sense of ease, she experienced a prickle of anticipation. Her feelings were contradicting themselves. Secure and steady, and at the same time this growing sense of giddy excitement. It must be that glass of champagne. The band started playing again, and the music wafted outside. Gently, Luke turned her to face him, slipping his hands around her as if to dance. Her arms reached for his neck, resuming their earlier position.
"We should talk,"
he whispered close to her ear.
"No,"
she murmured with a sigh. It seemed the most natural thing in the world to stand on the tips of her toes and brush her moist lips over his. Then she realized what she'd done. Her eyes widened, and she abruptly stepped back, her heart hammering inside her chest. Neither spoke. In the light that spilled from the hall, they stared at each other. Kate didn't know what her eyes told Luke, but his own were clouded with uncertainty. Kate half expected him to chastise her or to tease her for behaving like such a flirt. Instead, he reached for her once more, his eyes challenging her to stop him. She couldn't. The warmth of his mouth on hers produced a small sigh of welcome as her eyes slid languidly shut. She felt transported into a dream world, one she'd never visited before. This could actually be happening, she told herself. And yet it felt so real, so right. Luke's kiss was surprisingly tender, unlike anything she'd expected.
"My darling Kate,"
he breathed against her hair.
"I've dreamed of this so often."
"You have?" To her own ears, her voice sounded far, far away. Her head was swimming. If this was a dream, then she didn't want it to end. Sighing, she smiled beguilingly up at him.
"You little tease," he said, and laughed softly.
He rained light kisses on her forehead, the corners of her eyes and her cheek, until she interrupted his meandering lips, seeking his mouth with her own. He seemed to want the kiss as much as she did, but apparently saw no need to rush the experience, as if he feared hurrying would spoil it. Kate's mouth parted, inviting a deeper union. His willing compliance was so effective it buckled her knees.
"Kate?"
Still holding her, he drew back, tilting his head to study her. Boldly, she met his look, her eyes dancing with mischief. If he'd been kissing her out of pity, she was past caring. A long moment passed before a slow, thoughtful smile played across his lips.
"I think I'd better get you inside."
"No," she said, surprised at how vehement she felt about returning to the reception hall and the newlyweds. "I don't want to go back there."
"But
stay with me here, dance with me, hold me." He'd said he wanted to take care of her. Well, she was giving him the opportunity. She leaned into him and sighed, savoring his strength and support. This was Luke, Luke Rivers, her trusted friend. Surely he'd help her through this most difficult night of her life.
"I want you with me."
She couldn't explain what was happening any more than she could deny it.
"You don't know what you're asking me."
He stared down at her, searching her features for a long, breathless moment. Then the cool tips of his fingers brushed her face, moving along her cheekbones, stroking her skin as if he expected her to vanish. Kate caught his hand with her own and gazed into his dark eyes. They glittered like freshly polished onyx, full of light and a deep inner fire.
"I want you to kiss me. You taste so good,"
She moistened her lips and leaned closer to him, so close that she could feel the imprint of his buttons against her body, so close that the beat of his heart merged with her own. Excitement shivered through her in tremors so intense they frightened her, but not enough to make her pull away. Her words spurred Luke into action, and when he kissed her, their lips met with hungry insistence. Sensation erupted between them until Kate was weak and dizzy, clinging to him for support, her fingers bunching the material of his jacket. When he lifted his head, ending the kiss, Kate felt nearly faint from the rush of blood to her pounding temples. There was a look of shock on Luke's face. His eyes questioned her, but Kate's thoughts were as scattered as autumn leaves tossed by the wind. "How much champagne have you had?" he asked softly. "One glass," she answered with a sigh, resting her forehead against his heaving chest. Luke hadn't said taking care of her would be this wonderful. Had she known, she wouldn't have resented it quite so much earlier. Luke expelled a harsh breath.
"You've had more than one glass. I doubt you even know who I am."
"Of course I do," she flared. "You're Luke. Now don't be ridiculous. Only..."
"Only what?"
"Only you never kissed me before. At least not like that. Why didn't you tell me you were so good at this?"
Finding herself exceptionally witty, she began to laugh.
"I'm taking you home," Luke said firmly,
grabbing her elbow with such force that she was half lifted from the walkway.
"Luke," she cried, "I don't want to go back yet."
His grip relaxed immediately.
"Kate Logan, you're drunk, except you don't have the sense to know it."
"I most certainly am not."
She waved her index finger at him like a schoolmarm.
"I'll have you know that it takes a lot more than one glass of champagne to do me in."
Luke obviously wasn't willing to argue the point. His hand cradling her elbow, he led her toward the parking lot.
"I want to stay," she protested.
He didn't answer. Then it dawned on her that perhaps she'd misread Luke. Maybe he was trying to get rid of her so he could return to Beth.
"Luke?"
"Kate, please don't argue with me."
"Are you in love with Beth?"
"No."
His answer was clipped and impatient.
"Thank heaven."
Her hand fluttered over her heart.
"I don't think I could bear it if you were."
Luke stopped abruptly, and Kate realized they were standing in front of his truck. He opened the passenger door for her, but she had no intention of climbing in. At least, not yet. She wanted to spend more time with Luke, their arms wrapped around each other the way they'd been before. The pain that had battered her heart for weeks had vanished the instant she stepped into his arms.
"Kiss me again, okay?"
"Kate, no."
"Please?"
"Kate, you're drunk."
"And I tell you, I'm not."
The one glass of champagne had been just enough to make her a little reckless. It felt so good to surrender to these new emotions, to lean on Luke. From the moment they'd arrived at the wedding, he'd been telling her how much she needed him. Maybe he was right. There'd been so much upheaval in her life, and Luke was here, warm and kind and solid.
"I'm going to drive you home,"
he insisted. From the sound of his voice, Kate could tell he was growing frustrated. The house would be dark and cold. How Kate feared being alone. And with Clay out of her life, there was only her father and Luke. If Devon did decide to marry Mrs. Murphy, he might sell the ranch, and then Luke would be gone too. Alarmed at the thought, she placed her hands on his shoulders, her gaze holding his.
"Kate?"
Luke coaxed. "All right, I'll go back to the house, but on one condition."
"Kate, come on, be reasonable."
"I want you to do something for me. You keep telling me you're my friend and how much you want to help."
"Just get inside the truck, would you, before someone comes along and finds us arguing?"
"I need your promise first."
Luke ignored her.
"You've got a reputation to uphold. You can't let people in Nightingale see you tipsy. The school board will hear about this, and that'll be the end of your career."
Kate smiled, shaking her head, then impulsively leaned forward and kissed him again. Being with Luke took the hurt away.
and she refused to suffer that kind of pain ever again.
"Will you please do what I want?"
"All right,"
he muttered, clearly exasperated.
"What is it?"
"Oh, thank you,"
she murmured, and sighed expressively. This was going to shock him, but no more than it had already shocked her. She didn't know where the idea had come from, but it seemed suddenly, inarguably, right. Kate smiled at him, her heart shining through her eyes.
"It's simple, really. All I want you to do is marry me."
Chapter 2. Early the following day, Devin Logan walked hesitantly into the kitchen where Kate sat drinking her first cup of coffee. She smiled a greeting.
"Morning, Dad."
"Morning, Princess."
He circled the table twice before he sat down. Kate watched him curiously, then rose to pour him a cup of coffee and bring it to the table. It was a habit she'd begun after her mother's death several years earlier.
"Did you and Mrs. Murphy have a good time last night?"
Kate asked, before her father could comment on the rumors that were sure to be circulating about her and Luke Rivers. She hadn't seen Luke yet, but she would soon enough, and she was mentally bracing herself for the confrontation. What a fool she'd made of herself. She cringed at the thought of her marriage proposal and didn't doubt for a second that Luke was going to take a great deal of delight in tormenting her about it. She suspected it would be a long while before he let her live this one down.
"Looks like rain,"
Devin mumbled. Kate grinned good-naturedly, wondering at her father's strange mood.
"I asked you about last night, not about the weather."
Devin's eyes flared briefly with some unnamed emotion, which he quickly disguised. His gaze fell to the steaming mug cupped in his hands.
"Dad, did you and Mrs. Murphy enjoy yourselves?"
"Why, sure, we had a grand time,"
he said with forced enthusiasm. Kate waited for him to elaborate. Instead, he reached for the sugar bowl and resolutely added 3 heaping teaspoons to his mug. He stirred it so briskly the coffee threatened to slosh over the edge. All the while, he stared blankly into space. Kate didn't know what to make of Devin's unusual behavior.
"Dad," she said, trying again, "is there something on your mind?"
His eyes darted about the room, reluctantly settling on Kate.
"What makes you ask that?"
"You just added sugar to your coffee. You've been drinking it sugarless for 40 years. He glared down at the mug, surprise written on his tanned face.
"I did?"
"I saw you myself."
"I did,"
he repeated firmly, as if that was what he'd intended all along.
I seem to have developed a sweet tooth lately."
It was becoming apparent to Kate that her father's experience at Clay's and Rory's wedding reception must have rivaled her own. "Instead of beating around the bush all morning, why don't you just tell me what's on your mind?" Once more, her father lowered his eyes, then nodded and swallowed tightly.
"Dorothea and I had a long talk last night,"
he began haltingly.
"It all started innocently enough. Then again, I'm sure the wedding and all the good feelings floating around Clay and Rory probably had a lot to do with it."
He paused to take a sip of his coffee, grimacing at its sweetness.
"The best I can figure, we started talking seriously after Nellie Jackson came by and told Dorothy and me that we made a handsome couple. At least, that's what I remember."
"It's true," Kate said kindly. Personally, she would have preferred her father to see someone who resembled her mother a bit more. But Mrs. Murphy was a pleasant, gentle woman, and Kate was fond of her. Her father smiled fleetingly.
"Then the champagne was passed around, and Dorothy and I helped ourselves."
He paused, glancing at Kate as if that explained everything.
"Yes," Kate said, hiding a smile. "Go on."
Slowly, Devin straightened, and his eyes, forthright and unwavering, held hers.
"You know I loved your mother. When Nora died, there was a time I wondered if I could go on living without her. But I have, and so have you."
"Of course you have, Dad." Suddenly, it dawned on Kate exactly where this conversation was leading. It shouldn't have surprised her, and yet, Kate's heart was beginning to hammer uncomfortably. Her father didn't need to say another word. She knew what was coming as surely as if he'd already spoken the words aloud. He was going to marry Dorothea Murphy.
Your mother's been gone nearly 5 years now, and, well, a man gets lonely.
Her father continued.
I've been thinking about doing some traveling, and frankly, I don't want to do it alone.
You should have said something earlier, Dad, Kate interjected.
I'd have loved traveling with you. Still would. That's one of the nice things about being a teacher, she rambled on. My summers are free. And with Luke watching the ranch, you wouldn't have any worries about what's happening at home and...
Princess. His spoon made an irritating clicking sound against the sides of the ceramic mug, but he didn't seem to notice.
I asked Dorothea to marry me last night, and she's graciously consented.
After only a moment's hesitation, Kate found the strength to smile and murmur,
Why, Dad, that's fantastic.
I realize it's going to be hard on you, Princess. So soon after Clay's wedding and all, I want you to know I have no intention of abandoning you. You'll always be my little girl.
Of course you aren't abandoning me.
Tears edged their way into the corners of Kate's eyes, and a cold numbness moved out from her heart and spread through her body.
I'm happy for you, really happy.
She meant it, too, but she couldn't help feeling a sense of impending loss. All the emotional certainties seemed to be disappearing from her life. Her father gently squeezed her hand.
There are going to be some other changes as well, I'm afraid. I'm selling the ranch.
Kate gasped before she could stop herself. He'd just confirmed all her fears. She'd lost Clay to another woman. Now she was about to lose her father, and her home, too. Then another thought crystallized in her mind, a thought that had been half-formed the night before. If the ranch was sold, Luke would be gone, too. Clay, her father, the Circle L, Luke. Everyone and everything she loved gone in a matter of hours. It was almost more than she could absorb. Pressing her hand over her mouth, she blinked back the tears.
Now, I don't want you to concern yourself, her father hurried to add. You'll always have a home with me. Dorothy and I talked it over, and we both want you to feel free to live with us in town as long as you like.
You'll always be my princess, and Dorothea understands that.
Dad, Kate muttered, laughing and crying at the same time. That's ridiculous. I'm 24 years old and perfectly capable of living on my own.
Of course you are, but...
She stopped him by raising her hand. There's no need to discuss it further. You and Dorothea Murphy are going to be married, and... I couldn't be happier for you. Don't you worry about me. I'll find a place of my own in town and make arrangements to move as soon as I can.
Her father sighed, clearly relieved by her easy acceptance of his plans.
Well, Princess, he said with a grin, I can't tell you how pleased I am. Frankly, I was worried you'd be upset.
Oh, Dad.
Still grinning broadly, Devon stroked the side of his jaw.
Dorothy isn't a bit like your mother. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Fact is, the only reason I asked her out that first time was so she'd invite me over for some of her peach cobbler. Then, before I knew it, I was making excuses to get into town, and it wasn't because of her cobbler, either.
Kate made an appropriate reply, although a minute later she wasn't sure what she'd said. Soon afterward, her father kissed her cheek, and then left the house, telling her he'd be back later that afternoon. She poured herself a second cup of coffee and leaned against the kitchen counter, trying to digest everything that was happening to her well-organized life. She felt as though her whole world had been uprooted and flung about, as though a hurricane had landed in Nightingale. Wandering aimlessly from room to room, she paused in front of the bookcase where a photograph of her mother stood. Tears blurred her eyes as she picked it up and clutched it to her chest. Wave upon wave of emotion swept through her, followed by a flood of hot tears. She relived the overwhelming grief she'd felt at her mother's death,
and she was furious with her father for letting another woman take Nora's place in his life. At the same time, she couldn't begrudge him his new happiness. Mrs. Murphy wasn't the type of woman Kate would have chosen for her father, but then she wasn't doing the choosing. Suddenly resolute, Kate dragged in a deep breath, exhaling the fear and uncertainty, and inhaling acceptance of this sudden change in both their lives. The back door opened, and instinctively Kate closed her eyes, mentally composing herself. It could only be Luke, and he was the last person she wanted to see right now.
Kate?
With trembling hands, she replaced the faded photograph and wiped the tears from her face. Good morning, Luke, she said as she entered the kitchen. Luke had walked over to the cupboard and taken down a mug.
Your father just told me the news about him and Mrs. Murphy, he said carefully. Are you going to be all right?
Of course. It's wonderful for Dad, isn't it?
For your father, yes, but it must be a shock to you so soon.
After Clay and Rory, she finished for him. Reaching for the coffee pot, she poured his cup and refilled her own. I'm going to be just fine, she repeated. But Kate didn't know whether she was telling him this for his benefit or her own. Naturally, the fact that Dad's marrying Dorothea means a few changes in all our lives, but I'll adjust.
I haven't seen your father this happy in years.
Kate did her best to smile through the pain. Yes, I know. To her horror, tears formed again, and she lowered her eyes and blinked wildly in an effort to hide them.
Kate.
She whirled around and set her coffee aside, then started wiping invisible crumbs from the perfectly clean kitchen counter. Luke's hand settled on her shoulders, and before she knew what was happening, Kate had turned and buried her face against his clean-smelling denim shirt. A single sob shook her shoulders, and she gave a quivering sigh, embarrassed to be breaking down in front of him like this.
Go on, baby,
he whispered gently, his hands rubbing her back.
Let it out.
She felt like such a weakling to be needing Luke so much, but he was so strong and steady, and Kate felt as helpless as a rowboat tossed in an angry sea. Did you know Dad might sell the ranch? She asked Luke.
Yes.
His voice was tight.
When did he tell you?
This morning, after he said he was marrying Mrs. Murphy.
You don't have to worry about it.
But I do, she said, sobbing brokenly. She felt Luke's chin caress the crown of her head, and she snuggled into his warm, safe embrace. Luke was her most trusted friend. He'd seen her through the most difficult day of her life. The thought of Clay and Rory's wedding flashed into her mind, and with it came the burning memory of her marriage proposal to Luke. She stiffened in his arms, mortified at the blatant way she'd used him, the way she'd practically begged him to take care of her, to marry her. Breaking free of his arms, she straightened and offered him a watery smile.
What would I do without you, Luke Rivers? You won't ever need to find out.
He slid his arms around her waist and gently kissed the tip of her nose. His smile was tender.
There must have been something in the air last night. First us, and now your father and Mrs. Murphy.
About us, she began carefully. She drew in a steadying breath, but her eyes avoided Luke's. I hope you realize that when I asked you to marry me, I didn't actually mean it. He went very still, and for a long moment he said nothing.
I took you seriously, Kate.
Kate freed herself from his arms and reached for her coffee, gripping the mug tightly. I'd had too much champagne.
According to you, it was only one glass.
Yes, but I drank it on an empty stomach, and with all the difficult emotions the wedding brought out, I simply wasn't myself. Luke frowned.
Oh?
No, I wasn't, she said, feigning a little laugh. The way we were dancing and the way I clung to you and kissed you, that's nothing like me. I'm not going to hold you to that promise, Luke. As if he found it difficult to remain standing, Luke turned a chair around and straddled it with familiar ease. Kate claimed the chair opposite him, grateful to sit down.
Her nerves were stretched to the breaking point. Luke draped his forearms over the back of his chair, cupping the hot mug with both hands, and studied Kate with an intensity that made her blush.
"Listen," Kate said hesitantly. "You were the perfect gentleman, and I want you to know how much I appreciate everything you did, but I didn't mean half of what I said."
The sun-marked crow's feet at the corners of his eyes fanned out as Luke smiled slowly, confidently.
"Now that raises some interesting questions."
"I don't understand."
Surely Luke knew what she was talking about, yet he seemed to enjoy watching her make an even bigger fool of herself by forcing her to explain.
"Well," he said in an easy drawl, "if you only meant half of what you said, then it leads me to wonder what you did mean and what you didn't.
I can't remember everything I said."
She murmured, her cheeks hot enough to pop a batch of corn. "But I do know I'd greatly appreciate it if you'd forget the part about marrying me."
"I don't want to forget it."
"Luke, please," she cried, squeezing her eyes shut. "This is embarrassing me. Could you please drop it?"
Luke rubbed his jaw thoughtfully.
"I don't think I can."
So Luke was going to demand his pound of flesh. Kate supposed she shouldn't be surprised. She had, after all, brought this on herself.
"You were so kind to me at the reception. After the wedding ceremony, you kept saying you wanted to help me, and Luke, you did. You honestly did. I don't think I could have made it through Clay's wedding without you, but..."
"You want to forget the kissing, too?"
"Yes, please." She nodded emphatically. He frowned.
"That's not what you said last night. In fact, you seemed a little stunned at how pleasant it was. As I recall, you told me, and I quote, 'Why didn't you tell me you were so good at this?'"
"I said that," Kate muttered, already knowing it was true.
"I'm afraid so."
She covered her face with both hands as the hot color mounted in her cheeks.
"And you made me promise to marry you."
She bit down hard on her lower lip. "Anyone else in the world would have mercifully forgotten I said that." With a certain degree of ceremony, Luke set his hat farther back on his head and folded his arms. His face was a study in concentration.
"I have no intention of forgetting it. I'm a man of my word, and I never break my promises."
Kate groaned. In light of her father's news this morning, she'd hoped Luke might be a bit more understanding. "It's obvious you're deriving pleasure from this," she muttered angrily, then pressed her lips together to keep from saying more.
"No, not exactly." "When would you like to have the wedding? And while we're at it, you might as well learn now that..."
"You can't be serious," she interrupted, incredulous that he'd suggest they set a date. If this was a joke, he was carrying it too far.
"I'm dead serious. You asked me to marry you, I agreed, and anything less would be a breach of good faith."
"Then I absolve you from your promise."
She waved her hands as if she was granting some kind of formal dispensation. He stroked the side of his face, his forehead creased in a contemplative frown.
"My word is my word, and I stand firm on it."
"I didn't understand what I was saying." "Well, I did, sort of. But you know as well as I do that the heat of the moment was doing most of the talking."
Luke's frown deepened.
"I suppose everybody in town will assume you're marrying me on the rebound. Either that, or I'll be the one they gossip about. That doesn't trouble me much, but I don't like the thought of folks saying anything about you."
"Will you stop?" she cried. "I have no intention of marrying anyone ever."
She was finished with love, finished with romance. 30 years from now, she'd be living alone with a few cats and her knitting needles.
"That wasn't what you said last night."
"Would you quit saying that? I wasn't myself, for heaven's sake."
"Well, our getting married sounded like a hell of a good idea to me. Now, I know you've gone through a hard time, but our marriage will end all that."
Kate brushed a shaking hand across her eyes, hoping this was just part of a nightmare and she'd soon wake up. Unfortunately, when she lowered her hand, Luke was still sitting there as arrogant as could be.
"I can't believe we're having this discussion. It's totally unreasonable,
and if you're trying to improve my mood, you've failed.
I'm serious, Kate. I told you that.
Keeping her head down, she spoke quickly, urgently. It's really wonderful of you to even consider going through with the marriage, but it isn't necessary, Luke. More than anyone, you should know that I can't marry you. Not when I love Clay Franklin.
Hogwash.
Kate's head jerked up. I beg your pardon.
You're in love with me. You just don't know it yet.
It took Kate only a half second to respond. Of all the egotistical, vain, high-handed... She paused to suck in a breath. If Luke's intent was to shock her, he'd succeeded. She bolted to her feet and flailed the air with both hands. Unable to stand still, she started pacing the kitchen. I don't understand you. I've tried. Honestly, I've tried. One moment you're the Rock of Gibraltar, steady and secure and everything I need, my best friend. And the next moment you're saying the most ridiculous things to me. It never used to be like this. Why have you changed?
Is it really that bad?
He cajoled softly, ignoring her question. I don't know what happened to you, to us, at the wedding reception, but like you said, something must have been in the air. Let's blame it on the champagne and drop it before one of us gets hurt.
If you gave the idea of our getting married some serious thought, it might grow on you, he suggested next.
Then he got to his feet and moved purposefully toward her, his mouth twisted in a cocky grin.
Maybe this will help you decide what's best.
He laid a finger across her mouth.
It seems to me you've forgotten it's not ladylike to be quite so stubborn.
With that, he slipped his arm around her waist and pulled her gently against him. Knowing what he intended, Kate opened her mouth to protest, but he fastened his lips over hers, sealing off the words, and to her chagrin, soon erasing them altogether. Her fingers gripped the collar of his blue button snap shirt, and against every dictate of her will, her mouth parted, welcoming his touch. When he released her, it was a minor miracle that she didn't collapse on the floor. He paused, and a wide grin split his face.
Yep, he said, looking pleased. You love me, all right.